sings that chorus again, if you've got that feeling, you know, Lord, it's my desire. Why don't you just stand up and just reach a hand out to the Lord? Just stand up and just say, Lord Jesus, it's my desire to live for you, God, with everything that's within me, Lord. Bibles to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. The book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and let's look into the little word of the Lord for a little while today. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. It's always great to serve the Lord, is it not? Amen. Acts chapter 10, verses 5. Actually, Acts chapter 10, the 9th verse. And just follow me as I read. Acts chapter 10, starting at the 9th verse. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon his housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they were made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him and said, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten of anything that is common nor unclean. And the voice that spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, call not thou common. With the help of the Lord today, I want to preach a little while about some things to just change our perspective a little bit. Amen. Principles to change our perspective, things that will change the way we look at things. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being able to be in the house of the Lord today. We pray that you touch our minds, O God, mold these lips of clay, Lord, as we preach the word of God today, Lord. And we ask for your touch upon our minds and our hearts today, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord will, at times, he will take us and change our perspective on things just a little bit. He will take us, if there's a reason, he will take some things and change them. Let me talk about a few things. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 22 through 23, and we'll read a scripture. There are some things in the Word of God that will help us to change our perspective. We can look at life and we can look at serving the Lord as a burden or as even an impossibility, but the Lord speaks through us through eyes of faith, does he not? Is there anything that's too hard for God? Come on, is there anything that's too hard for God? There's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. What becomes hard is when we look at things and we begin to think, that's too hard. But with God, there's nothing that's too hard. He's just simply looking for a willing vessel is what he's doing. If you go back to the first part of that Acts chapter 10, and you don't have to go there by the scripture, we find that the Lord was dealing with the heart of a man called Cornelius, and his whole household basically had talked to them about the need to serve the Lord. And he told them that they need to send for this man. And at the same time, after God had spoke to him to send for this man, the Lord had to prepare this man because Cornelius was a Gentile and Peter was a Jew, and they would never think about talking to the Gentiles about salvation. That was just not something that they did. So that's what the thing about the unclean animals, and the Lord had told them, don't call what I have made clean, unclean. He was not talking about sin here. He was talking about people that were going to be welcomed into the kingdom of God, because up until that point, salvation was for the Jews alone, and now salvation is opened up for all men. Amen. All nationalities, all races. And if you look at heaven, when you go to heaven, you're going to look at a place like this. Amen. Come on. we're going to look at a place like this. It's you know, one thing that drives, I will tell you, one thing that drives me a little bit crazy. A fellow called me here, and I tried to talk to him a little while ago, spoke pretty good English, and said that he only wanted to come to a Spanish church. Well, there are people that feel like that. They only want to be around Africans, or they only want to be around Filipinos, or they only want to be around white people. I think there's a problem with that. People are, you know, we've got people that won't respond because there's too many folks that are not white in this church. Well, guess what? Heaven is going to be a people of every kindred, of every tongue, of every nation. Amen. And you might as well get used to it down here, because the Lord, the power of God is going to be more in a place that has people of every kindred, tongue, and nation than it's going to be in a place that only has one flavor. Amen. That's the way it is. Amen. Because the Lord wants to see all men saved. Praise God. That one was for free. Hallelujah. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion like men of Moab, and he also went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. I want you to notice that. He went down, he slew a lion that was in a pit, and it was a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Nothing in the scripture is in there by accident. When we look through the Word of God, sometimes we find some things that are in the Word of God that are a little perplexing. You know, why would the Lord put this there? And there's nothing that's in the Word of God that is there by accident. Every scripture has a purpose. Every scripture has a reason. And we find a short chronicle of the acts of Benaiah, one of David's mighty men, in the book of Chronicles. And it's said that he went down and that he slew that lion in the pit on a snowy day. Let me tell you something. The circumstances weren't very good for Benaiah that day, were they? And despite the circumstances, God gave Benaiah the victory over a lion in a pit. And the pit is symbolic of a low place. Anybody ever felt like you've been in a pit where you feel like you get so down and you get so depressed, and it seems like nothing is going right, snowing on you, the weather's bad, and then all of a sudden you've got some kind of lion of a situation come up against you? But he tells us that despite the circumstances, that God will still give us the victory. Amen? He will still. In living for God, we've got to learn to master our emotions. And sometimes living for God is a roller coaster of emotions. And we'll see the hand of God provide. We will see the hand of God do things. And all of a sudden, it seems like the next day that we're down in the valley again. We've got difficulties. We've got problems. We've got things that rise up against us. And the Lord wants to tell us today, don't worry about your emotions. Despite your emotions, despite how you feel. I mean, it could be that I didn't even feel like preaching today, but I would have to do what? Just preach by faith. Amen. Just say, you know what? I don't care what I feel like, because I know that God is God, and God can do whatever God wants to do when He wants to do it. So you can have your own circumstance in life. You can have your own difficulties. And whether we feel high or whether we feel low, guess what? It does not change the power of God to deliver His people. He does not change the promises of God that are made to His people. It does not do anything, because God can do some things. You know what? Sometimes God will do stuff when we're low, just because He wants to show us that it's not by our might and it's not by our power, that we might have a little might and we might get the glory on doing this. But sometimes when we're low and we're down and we're depressed, God will do some things just to let you know, hey, I'm God. I'm still up on the hill. I'm the one that cares for you. It's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by my power, saith the Lord. Amen. Isn't that what the scripture says? Praise God. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is an acceptance of truth in the face of adverse circumstances, just like submission. I want you to think about this. The Bible talks about submit yourself. Well, guess what? You know what? If you agree, that's not submission. If I come up and let me use some kind, I don't know, let me think of some kind of example here. Sister Donna, you need to teach Sunday school today. You say, well, I've been teaching Sunday school for a month straight. I haven't been able to sit in service. Well, you know what? You need to just go ahead and do that. And if you agree with me and you say, okay, Pastor, that's fine. I'll go ahead and do that. That's not submission. Submission is when you don't really feel like doing it. And you're like, you know what? I don't want to do this. That's submission when you say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross? Isn't that what Jesus did? Nevertheless, not my will. Deliver me from this thing that's going to come to me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, I'm just using it as just a very minor example. But that is also the thing about faith. Faith is very much like submission. You don't have to have faith when there's nothing to have faith about. Come on, somebody say amen. You don't have to have faith when everything's good. You don't have to have faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, when you're walking by sight and everything looks good and you're on the mountaintop and just nothing's going wrong, that's not faith. Faith is when things just don't look too hot. Faith is just like, I'm just not seeing how God's going to perform this or seeing how this is going to come to pass in my life, how this is going to come to pass, what's going to happen here. Just for example, we just use our little CD project that we're doing. It looks like people are taking them. I see hits on the website from places I've never seen before, multiple hits going through the website and all the rest of that, yet we don't see any visitors yet. And it looks like, well, we've wasted our money. We're wasting our time. No, 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 no. You walk by faith. Faith says, sow the word. Faith says when you put the word of God out, it's not going to return to you void. The problem that we have in the world today is the world likes to dwell on emotion. They'll make some kind of big event. They'll have some kind of superstar come. They'll have some kind of concert and try to draw people, and nothing really happens. But when you draw people by the word of God, when you draw people by the truth of the word of God, there's something lasting that's going to happen, because you cannot sow the word of God and not have a harvest that will come. So in that respect, we stand by faith and not by sight. It may not look like the greatest things are going to happen, but you just hang on and let God be God. And the scripture says somewhere in this sense, it says God is going to work, and who's going to let him? Well, we're going to let the Lord work. Amen. We're going to let the Lord. At the first of the year, I told you we were going to change our approach in dealing with people. And exactly what I said has happened. Amen. It's happened. But you know what? I fully believe that God led me this way and that we will see a harvest, because all we've been seeing is people that are unhappy here, jumping from here, going here, looking for another version of what they've already got. I don't need to give people another version of what they've already got. What we've got to give people is truth and salvation and the Holy Ghost, baptism in Jesus' name, the mighty God in Christ. They can have their old dead dry religion. They can have their club. We need the church of the living God. And that's only going to happen when the people of God sit there and say, I don't care what people say. I'm going to tell you what the truth of the word of God is, and sow the seed and let God be God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whether you're on the mountain today, or whether you're on the valley today, or even perhaps even like a pit. Where was Benaiah? Benaiah was in a pit. He was in a pit on a snowy day, and of all the crazy things that happens when you're in a pit on a snowy day, a lion comes. You ever felt like that? You got a day, and it's cold, it's miserable, and it just seems like, you know, you're down in the pit of despair or whatever the case is, and then the devil throws something at you. Anybody know where I am? What I'm talking about here? Am I connecting with you? Yeah, I'm connecting with you. Because every one of us has been in that place. How many of you can testify today just with a shout of amen that you've seen God do some things in your life when you were in something like a pit on a snowy day and the devil threw a lion at you? Anybody? Amen. Amen. God does those things. He can give you the victory, whether it looks like he's going to give you the victory or whether he's not going to look, doesn't look like he's going to give you a victory. You will find over and over in the scripture that God's power proves to be equal to the task at hand. Amen. Let me talk to you. I talked to you a little bit last couple of weeks about climate. We need to create our own climate. We've got to learn to do that. 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 8 verses. Are you familiar with the scripture? It was after that Samuel actually had anointed King David to be king. Saul had decided he was going to kill David. And then the Lord opened up for him to be with 400 men that were all in debt and that were they weren't very happy fellas. I forget exactly everything the scripture says about them, but they were all in debt. It was not a good situation. So they had went out and they came back, and that's where they went out on to fight a battle, and they came back, and that's where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. It says, "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the woman captive," and that was their woman, their children, "and that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." So David, verse 3, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept," said, "I don't know, what are we going to do? What's going to happen?" Here's the better part. In the sixth verse, actually. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." David was in a very difficult situation. He had become the leader of this group of people that were already very unhappy. And the Amalekites, when they were out doing their business and doing the work of the Lord, the Amalekites came and took all their children, all their wives, everybody was captive. And now the people that he was with looked at him and said, "I think we want to stone you." So what is the scripture said that David did? The scripture tells us that David began to create his own climate. What was happening there was not really the greatest thing to be happening there. It was a very serious situation. People were wanting to kill him. They were wanting to put him to death. It seemed like he trusted the Lord and God let him down. Come on, anybody ever feel like that? You feel like God lets you down? And David no doubt felt like that. But what he, instead of yielding himself to the situation, instead of yielding himself to the voices that would come to him and say, "You might as well just give up. You might as well just go serve the devil." You know, the voices that are like Job's wife, with friends like Job had, with a wife like Job had, who needed the devil. What did she tell Job? She says, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just give up?" His friends came to Job and said, "You know what? If you were such a righteous man, these things wouldn't be happening to you." So David found himself in the depths of despair. And the scripture says this one thing: David encouraged himself in the Lord. It doesn't tell us exactly what David did. It doesn't tell us whether he prayed, whether he read the word, whether he shouted, whether he danced. It doesn't tell us really any details. It just simply says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's one thing that will happen when you encourage yourself in God. Do you know what the Lord does? Does anybody know what the Lord does when you're down in despair and it seems like things aren't working out and you reach out for the Lord and you ask him and you begin to touch him? He will touch you back. He will give you strength. The Bible tells us in the day when we cry, he strengthens me with the strength inside of my soul. Because when you make the Lord your refuge, when you make the Lord that secret place, he has a responsibility to take care of his children. Wasn't it David that wrote and he said that, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread"? He knows of what he wrote because he went through some things. He went through the valley. He went through the place where people were trying to kill him. He went to the place where his own people were trying to stone him. And he knew that he had never seen the righteous forsaken. He knew that God had never let him down. He knew that God was not going to let him down. Things may not look real good for him, but he decided that he was going to go ahead and serve the Lord anyhow. And guess what? They got it all back. The Lord turned the captivity around. Things worked out because he trusted the Lord. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We don't know exactly what he did, But the climate was not encouraging around David. Psalms chapter 60 and verse 2 tells us a little bit about the mentality of David. In Psalm 60 and verse 2, it says, "From the end of the earth I'm going to cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. We've got to get something like that inside of us. When our heart is overwhelmed, when it doesn't look like that everything's going to work out, when it looks like there's a disaster that's looming, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Because God, I know if I depend upon myself, I'm going to fail. We generate a climate of faith by reaching out to the Lord. We generate a climate that's beyond ourselves by going to that rock that is higher than I. Amen. We don't sit there and get counsel of everybody. What do you think I'm going to do with this? What do you think? We spend too much time worrying about what everybody thinks instead of getting down and saying, God, I need you, Lord. God, would you be that rock that's higher than me? Don't worry about what your friends think. Don't worry about what your co-workers think. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Amen. I answered a question. There's a group of preachers that are on this deal here. And somebody says, when should I? They're working on starting a church. And they said, when should we have our first service? I had a very good answer for them. I said, when the Lord tells you to. Amen. People reach out and they try to get advice over this and they try to get advice over that. And that's good, because the Bible says there in the multitude of counselors there is safety, because you want to know whether you're out of kilter or not. But really, what it all comes down to is, even though I have experience, I cannot give anybody an answer. They have got to get it from the Lord themselves. Amen. And I encourage that brother to seek the Lord and to find that thing. You see, David knew there was one fact, that God is consistent. And in order to draw from the consistency of God, that he had to look beyond himself and look up and draw his strength from the one that is the source of consistency. Isn't he the source of consistency? Amen. You know how you stay strong? You look to the Lord. He's the one that's got strength. He's the one that's got power. He's the one. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. You can look to the example of the pastor and his wife. But ultimately, we have to learn to look beyond the pastor and the wife and look to the Lord and draw our strength from God, because we are just mere humans, are we not? That's all we are. We're flesh. We might fail you. You might think, well, I need you to do this for me, pastor. I just can't do it for whatever reason. Or I just don't see, or I just don't take the hint, or whatever the thing is like that. Whatever the case may be, but God will never let us down. Amen. We're just people, and maybe sometimes you might have let me down. Who knows? But the thing is that if you will just put the Lord in his life, and let me tell you something else, is the Lord gets the glory also. Praise God. One way that we do this in creating that climate is to have the right attitude with our walk with God. Everyone has their pits, does it not? Everyone, every once in a while, there's a pit that gets a hold of you. A little thing down. Now, a pit, if you don't speak English real good, it might be just, you know, like a thing that's seated inside. But a pit is like a thing that's dug. And maybe you walk inside there. It's a trap. Everybody has pits in their life sometimes. But you might find that there might even be a roaring lion ready to devour your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then have you for dessert. Let me tell you something else. Opposition to your walk with God should be expected if you're going to live for God. Amen. From both human and the demonic and the non-human. The scripture tells us, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live for God shall suffer persecution. Isn't that what it says? No, I wasn't say that. There's a lot of people out there saying, I love Jesus. They had a little, not much of anything. But you talk about people that will live godly. You live godly, you can expect that some people are going to resist you. You say, well, why would I want to live godly then? Why can't I just go to the flow? Because you're not looking for your reward from man. You're looking for your reward from the Lord. Amen. Why do you think we live like we do? We are ruled by a higher law.
I hope you are enjoying today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block from Town Hall. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. Now, let's get back to the remainder of today's message from Free Food for the Soul.
We're looking for a reward. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we've got the earnest of our inheritance? That's called the Holy Ghost, that there's going to come a time when we're going to receive our full inheritance. Why do I do this? Why do I live? Why don't I just go party hardy, have a great time, and die? Because I want to please my master. Amen? That's why you do the things. That's why you draw yourself close to God. It's not to please the pastor. It's to please God. And when you get the understanding that you're not doing this to please the pastor, you're doing this to please the Lord, your walk, it changes your perspective. Just like I've talked about before, and let me just say it again, when we pay our tithes, amen? Now, I may be the recipient of some of that. Of course, it costs a lot of money to run a church, and don't you think it costs a lot of money to do these CDs and all the rest of the stuff that we do? But I do take some for salary and what I can and so on and so forth. But really, when you put that money in the offering, when you pay your tithes, you're not giving that to me. You're giving that to God. Amen. You're giving that to the Lord. And when you understand that every time, every dollar that you put in, that there's a bank account, what does the Bible say? Lay up your treasures where? In heaven. Amen. When you put your money in that offering, when you take of your time and you teach Sunday school, for example, or you clean up after church, or you help us with this, or work for the Lord in the music, or whatever myriad other things that will come, and believe me, as the church grows, it'll only get more. There'll be different things and so on and so forth. You're doing that, and there's a bank in heaven that has some things are being deposited in. How many of you save for retirement? Amen. Right now, I can't. Because there's not enough finances to save for retirement. But we look forward to retirement. But there's one thing that I do know is that I have got a retirement plan that's out of this world. Amen. Because I've been laying up while I haven't been able to do what I need to do for my wife and I for the elderly years. I have been putting away some stuff in heaven. Amen. And don't you think that God is going to reward me for that? Well, it's the same thing for you. You may say, well, it costs me, you know, I can't really afford to pay my tithe. Don't you think that God is going to bless you anyhow? Of course he is. He's going to make a way. There's no way, and I've told you this story before, and I won't belabor you with it, but there's no way we should even have a house. We were faithful to the point of all these years where I didn't even pursue what I could have pursued financially and job market and so on. But God blessed us anyhow. God can bless you despite your circumstances if you will just simply trust the Lord. Amen. If you will just simply follow the leading of God, God will do some things for you that will amaze you, because I've already seen it in my life. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, never seen his seed forsaken. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Both evil spirits and the flesh war on God's children, do they not? And God's purpose. So don't be surprised when opposition rears its head, because that's what's going to happen. The lion in the pit on the snowy day was not Benaiah's only battle. But God was not through fighting some battles with him. Amen. We may get through one battle, go into another battle, but God's not tired. He said he would destroy the works of the enemy. But unfortunately, for whatever reason God has chosen to, he doesn't destroy the enemy right now. He will destroy the enemy at some point. The Bible tells us that Satan will be bound. He will be cast into the lake of fire. He will torment the children of God no more. But for whatever purpose God has in this, he is allowed now not to be destroyed, but we can destroy his works. How do you destroy his works? You know, you can destroy the works of the devil in your life through the power of God. Amen. But on the other hand, if you go ahead and you go back to sin, the devil can rebuild those works in your life. So keeping those works destroyed is dependent upon us living for God. Amen. So that's why I encourage you, live for the Lord with everything you've got. Amen. Don't withhold anything from the Lord. Pray and fast and seek His face. And thank you, Sister Emily, for doing the prayer and fasting sheet while Brother Leo is stuck at work. And pray for Brother Leo. God will change his situation. Amen. He desperately wants to change it. I've seen God change situations. I believe God can change it. Amen. Amen. Leo's heart is in the house of the Lord. So we want to continue to pray for our dear brother who's stuck at work. Praise God. Let me tell you something. David understood the consistency of God. Psalms 34 and verse 19. And like I said, I'm just talking to you about some things that will help us to change our perspective, alter our perspective a little bit. Psalms 34 and verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of some of them. No, it doesn't say that. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Amen. You may say, well, you know, I'm afraid to live for God because I'm going to have some opposition. I'm going to have some persecution, whatever the case is. Don't worry about it. Because the Lord, you will be a stronger person than you were before if you will just live for God with everything that's within you. And you've got a greater reward coming. Amen. Some people are going to miss out on their reward. I don't want to do that. The Bible talks about, and I believe it's Matthew chapter 25, so I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction than my notes are going right now. So let's go to, I believe it's Matthew chapter 25. First verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Isn't that interesting? Both the ones that had the oil. Everybody know what oil is symbolic of? The Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't let the Spirit run out. You say, well, can the Spirit run out? Yeah. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. The Scripture does not teach that you are once saved, always saved. The Scripture teaches if you endure to the end that you're going to be in that place. Amen. It's not like the Muslim faith. The Muslim faith teaches that you can have, you can live for God, live for Allah with everything you got. And while you're crossing over the bridge to paradise, Allah can say, you know what? I don't want this one today. God can't do that. Jesus will not do that. Don't you think if He's been faithful to you, if you've been faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful to you. You've got nothing to worry about there. You've just got to get yourself to the place where you're faithful. Amen. So you had the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. Then the sound came, or the call came, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Isn't that what it says? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Then all the virgins arose, Matthew 25 and 7, and came and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. Amen. Sister E, why don't you come? Praise God. Change your perspective a little bit. But not only change your perspective. I can't. Sometimes the preaching kind of runs together to me sometimes. But I talked about the seed. I believe it was last week. Talked about helping the seed to prosper. Amen. Helping the seed to prosper. Nurturing the seed is the statement that I used. Nurturing the seed. The way that we nurture the seed, of course, one of the ways is at the completion of the preaching of the Word of God, what we're doing is we respond to the Lord is what happens. is we let the Holy Ghost move upon us. And like I said, one of these days, I want you to picture altar benches here, there, a baptismal up there. I want you to picture some things in faith. Amen. I want you to believe the Lord. I want you to believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. I want you to picture somebody that got a hold of one of these CDs coming into the church and getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And I could talk about a lot more things. I had quite a bit more prepared, but I feel like it's just time to stop a little bit. Because we need one more time to nurture that seed. The scripture talks about that there was going to be 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins. Or 5 wise and 5 foolish. I've heard Brother James Kilgore, one of our pastors of renown in the United Pentecostal Church, say that only half of the church is going to be saved. Because the other half is going to be asleep. And they're not going to have any oil. How about you today? If the oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost, would you seek the Lord? Would you take and trim your lamp a little bit today? What is trimming the lamp? It's kind of like trimming the vine, where it talks about if you abide in the Lord, He abides in you, and you know, trimming the vine so things grow good. Perhaps there's some things that you need to get out of your life. Perhaps there's some attitudes you need to change, some ways that you need to change your thinking, whatever the case. And the great thing is, I don't think that I'm talking to a people today that have no desire to live for God. You've stuck in, you've hung in, you've stayed here. Some of you have stayed here for many years now. And I know that you have a desire to live for God. So I want you to nurture that seed a little bit more today. Nurture that seed of faith. Nurture that seed of righteousness inside of you. My wife is going to sing that. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's find a place and let's just come and pray and talk to the Lord. Nurture the seed of faith that's within us a little while. If you didn't hear the message from last week, conquering the impossible through faith, there are several copies back there. I will have that prepared for the Free Food for the Soul project. We'll be putting that out there. But right now, it's time for us. Right now, it's time for the church to just express to the Lord, I don't need earth's things, because it's my desire, Lord. I want to be a profitable servant, Lord. I want to be somebody that when I walk into those pearly gates, or when I hear that sound that the bridegroom cometh, Lord, I don't want to have to go and look for some oil for my lamp. I don't want to have to trim my lamp, Lord. I want to trim my lamp today. I want to get some oil today. And when we come to that place, I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Some of you have served the Lord for many years in this church, and I appreciate you. And I really do. I really think a lot of you. But at the same time, we've got to work out our own salvation. We've got to do some enduring. We've got to be living for God. We've got to let Him move upon us. We've got to keep some oil in the lamp. Worship the Lord with my wife. Just seek the face of the Lord. Hallelujah.
My desire to live for that we do in this world or in this life is just to live for God, it would do. The Bible said that 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And if we believe the scripture, we would see that there would be some foolish people in the church. Amen. Not physically, like, you know, stupid to call them fools, but people who think they can live, as pastor would say, 1 foot in the church and 1 foot on a banana peel. Those are the foolish ones. Thinking that grace will always be there for them. But the scripture said that grace was not always there, for the trumpet had sounded and they realized that something was missing in their life. Something was missing. They could not enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. So they had to turn back. But these foolish people didn't turn back then. They had turned back a long time ago. For what it takes for them to enter in, they didn't have it. Amen? And if 50% of us is going to be saved, and today we have about 1.5 billion Christians throughout the world, I believe. Only talking about 700,000 people. We got to be sure that we have that oil. Amen? We got to be sure that our light is shining and not dim but bright. And only you can make sure of that. Having that desire by doing what Solomon said, seeking his knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you have that wisdom, you're not a fool. Amen? You know, Tayo said that in Nigeria, they clap when they jump when they sing. And sometimes I wonder that when the Bible said that, and the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. Amen? So he himself would make a lot of noise when he's coming. Why we cannot shout and sing while we're here? If he, the Lord God Almighty, when he coming for his saints, he will ascend with a shout, a loud voice. I don't know if he's going to call your name, or he's going to call my name so loud, or he's going to call everybody's name, or however he's going to do it, so loud that we would hear him. Often I wonder why we sit quietly. Is he smaller than us? It is our turn to shout unto him. Not only.
What must I do to be saved?
Well, before I get into the direct answer, I'm going to assume you believe the Bible.
Right.
If somebody doesn't believe the Bible, I start with experience.
Totally different issue.
Well, all of us are sinners. And therefore, all of us are separated from God by our sin. And we see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1, 16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the way that we're saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I need to add from the outset is, in the scriptural sense, and certainly when you're talking about salvation, believing is more than mental understanding, mental agreement, or verbal profession. It actually includes obedience to what you profess. And we see this in Romans. Romans 1:5 speaks of the obedience of faith. So the very book and the very inspired author who speaks perhaps more than any other about salvation by faith tells us what kind of faith he's talking about. It's faith that produces obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. If you truly believe God, you'll believe His Word. If you truly believe His Word, you'll act upon His Word. If I yell out, the building is on fire, if you really believe that, you're not going to just sit there and tell me, oh, thank you for that bit of information, I acknowledge it and I profess it. No, you're going to act on it. You're going to run out of the building. And if you do, we could say that I saved you. Or we could say that you're saved because you believe me. Or we could say you're saved because you acted on what you believe. And that's why Romans 6:17, Paul says that you used to be the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered to you. So the same author that says you're saved by believing the gospel also says you're saved by obeying the doctrine. Those are not two different things. It's the same thing. Now, let me fast forward. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received this wonderful experience. Peter preached to them, to the thousands of believers that gathered. And he preached, if you study it, he preached simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2. That is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again to provide victory. So we must believe that gospel, or as I've just explained, we must somehow obey that gospel. Believe it to the point that we act upon it, we apply it to our lives. How do we do that? We find the answer in Acts 2. Peter preached the simple message that Jesus died, but His body did not decay in the tomb. He was raised on the third day. And then the people cried out, what shall we do? And He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. When we repent, we're dying to the old life. We identify with Christ's death. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, it's a burial with Christ. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the resurrection of life of Christ. So when we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, and we receive the experience that Peter commanded in Acts chapter 2.
So when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, is commonly expressed, or
yes,
is expressed in some settings, it's more than just I believe.
Right.
And it being a mental assent, but it's a behavior, it's action taken.
Yes. In Acts, in Romans 10, which you're referring to, if you read that context, Paul was explaining why the Jewish people as a whole are not saved. And he said it's because they've not believed the message of Christ. And then so he explains the basis of salvation, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him. Now, he wasn't explaining to a sinner what to do at the altar. He was writing to the church,
right,
explaining why aren't the Jews receiving the promises of God? Because their foundation is off. They won't confess Christ. Now, if they will confess Jesus and believe that He rose from the dead, then they could be saved. But of course, his audience knows, well, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you're obeying Him as your Lord.
Right.
If you believe that He was raised from the dead, that means you'll receive the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. So he didn't have to fill in the blanks for his audience. They had already experienced that.
He was writing to the church.
Yes, and he was explaining the foundation. You've got to get your foundation right, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't deny, we need to emphasize, salvation is by the grace of God. That means it's a gift of God. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith.
I hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. God is real, He cares for you, and has a deeper walk for you in the Spirit. Feel free to be our guest this Sunday at the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block behind Town Hall. Sunday Bible class starts at 12:30, and our worship celebration starts promptly at 1 o'clock. Our phone number is 201-201-201.
832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. I trust that you have been both fed and blessed today from God's Word through Free Food for the Soul.